Welcome to the Insiders Insights podcast, where we share with you the thoughts of the individuals who are working for projects that are changing the world. Thank you to our sponsor, Credit Coin, the building blocks of trust. For more details, please visit the show notes below.
Welcome to Offchain Presents Insiders Insight. Today, we are very honored to have Ryan from Decentral Games, and we're going to be discussing the future of gaming, Web3, Metaverse, and NFTs. But before we begin that conversation, Ryan, could you tell our audience a bit about your journey into crypto and Web3?
Yeah, absolutely. First, also honored to be here. We appreciate taking the time. So I spent a while bouncing around between jobs in sort of Web2 tech, with the longest stint being at Amazon, working in data side of things, then later partnerships, passionate about solving problems, doing something that I cared about doing. And I think you get some of that working for a big company, but more sense of ownership at a startup, and as well, like became passionate about the Web3 space over time. When I was introduced to Ethereum in 2017, just as an investor, from there, Decentraland in particular really piqued my interest. That's what made it real for me in 2018, 2019, seeing what NFTs could be used for. So it's kind of intangible at the time, but it represents land. It represents digital items like a shirt or shoes that you're wearing around in the space, and sort of got familiar with ERC-20 tokens like Manifest, Matic, a few others. Kind of involved in trading, and then had the opportunity to join really early a project that was building in Decentraland called Decentral Games. And at the same time, you know, COVID was just starting about 2 years ago, and it felt like the right opportunity to make that leap from the more comfortable Web2 sort of manager role into a scrappy, what was three-person startup. And it's been a great journey ever since. So I'm excited to talk about that as well.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. It's kind of been a little bit of a mission of mine since we had the podcast with Sam from Zebek to sort of understand people's thoughts on migrating from Web2 to Web3. Do you personally think that we're going to be able to move most of what can be done on Web2 onto Web3? So I know there's Lens Protocol being built on, you know, Ethereum, and that's basically trying to migrate social media onto Web3. And then obviously we've got all of this file storage protocols as well. Do you think anything else could be moved on in the immediate future?
Yes, that's a great question. I think really broadly, I hope that that's the case. Like, I think that ownership of digital assets is really important. Owning your identity. Like, we've all seen what's happened with like big data leaks of big tech companies, or, you know, some big Web2 companies misusing data, using it in ways that people find it questionable. And that the world would be a better place if users of these products owned their data. So first of all, I'm hopeful that that's the case. I think that some use cases will be more straightforward than others. Like, not an expert on the two that you mentioned. File storage sounds like it might be more challenging in the short run, but easier as block space becomes less expensive. And as, you know, the entire space develops, it's quite new. The area that I, of course, think is the most ripe for disruption is gaming, because we have billions of gamers worldwide. It's an enormous market. People are spending tens of billions of dollars just on in-game assets, not on the games themselves, so things like skins. And it's something like that where the NFT represents something within an ecosystem, and that ecosystem doesn't have to be entirely on-chain, is something that's more, let's say, easily disrupted, and it's a really clear use case. You know, people always ask, like, what problem is blockchain solving, or why is it better to do it this way on Ethereum or on Polygon? And in this case, it's quite simply better because it confers ownership, because people can resell those items. In the case of something like Decentraland, people can make their own items, bring them in, sell them to others. And then, of course, building on top of that, we're also making games in the space. But yeah, I mean, I think that gaming is probably the first and biggest use case after like just peer-to-peer remittances and stuff like USDC that we'll really see take off.
Yeah. Ryan, could you tell us more about how the gaming industry is evolving and was evolving up to now? And maybe you could elaborate about the future, how you see the gaming industry. I understand that it's a very big and broad question, but I think you would be the right person to ask that since you've been in the space for a while already.
That's the question evolving overall. So the advent of video games, major platforms from Atari up to Xbox and PlayStations, to computer gaming, then mobile gaming, where the sort of freemium model really took off. That's like you're either paying not to see ads or you're paying for additional time playing the game, something like that. And so across all these areas, as people are spending more time online and spending more time on their phones, playing games on their computer. I guess, yeah, it's kind of a broad question. Like I keep coming back to the crypto angle of things. Like more broadly, graphics will get better. People are investing more and more into gaming because it's become larger than, you know, movies and music and television combined. So I think we'll just get better and better games. Web3 gaming, or I prefer Web3 gaming to GameFi, by the way, because I think the focus should be on the games and not the financial aspect of it. But I can see this developing in such a way that both small developers are incorporating NFTs and assets into their games. And we've seen a few of those take off to sort of limited extent, like Axie and Steppen, only limited in the sense compared to like, you know, call it Web2 gaming, that's orders of magnitude larger. So see that taking off. And then I also see big game developers starting to dip their toes in and incorporate this, if not into their largest projects, but into side projects, and sort of think it can be a really good business model for them as well.
Yeah, sure. I also think that the new games that are being developed right now and they are focused on the Web3, they will attract more users that couldn't get into the Web2 gaming because they didn't have the means to basically access them and pay for them. Because there's lots of people in developing countries who don't have access to banking system and they can't really do purchases online. But with crypto, it's becoming more accessible. And I'm sure like the Web3 games, they have lots of potential and they can, if the product will be really good, they like the sky's the limit, or even not the sky, everybody's going to the moon all the time. Yeah. How do you see gaming NFTs? Sometimes I get annoyed if I go to the like a new game that I see online and I'm connecting my wallet because I want to try to play and see how it goes. But they immediately ask me to buy an NFT, and like without buying an NFT on the platform, I cannot start even playing. And sometimes I get like very annoyed about that. But what about like why NFTs in these Web3 games? Why do they have such an important role? And what's the whole buzz around them?
Yeah, so I think taking those one by one, like you brought up the point of accessibility, which is really important. One reason why Axie was able to take off the way it was is with the mobile platform, in addition to the economic incentives that existed, but the accessibility in terms of platform, ease of onboarding that way. And then this idea of scholarship they outlined. Now, whether or not that's exactly the right model, certainly up for debate, but I think you want to have multiple levels of entry and a progression across the platform. So there are people who are going to come in and, like in our case, want to collect all the items from a given set, invest time improving those items, call it upgrading them. And then other people who come in as delegated players for free. And then you're thinking about how do you match these people together? How do you give both a good experience? So like with the first game that we released last year, Ice Poker and Decentraland, we found through kind of a number of cohorts of users, like you had delegated players who were just looking to earn ice from playing the game. Then you had those delegated players who were trying to work their way up to owning their own wearable, which came with benefits like actually being able to wear it into Decentraland and higher earnings. You had people who then one step up were able to come in and buy one at the outset and play with it. And then were perhaps interested in reinvesting those earnings and upgrading it or buying more. And then finally, let's say fourth, you had what other games consider like the guilds. So I think we made the right decision and completely fair launched and didn't, you know, pre-sell any NFTs to guilds. So we've never had any entity that owns more than 1% of the supply of the NFTs. People actually bought them along the way as they were being minted, quite rare. But some people were interested in starting a guild or a team of players and buying 20 or 40 of these items and finding a roster of players to play with those. And then they see the competition and sort of earning potential as well from that. So one issue that comes up across Web3 gaming is what I call like the barbell problem, that out of those four cohorts of people, the delegated players who just want to earn, delegated players who want to own, owners who want to play, owners who just want to delegate and earn, you have way too many people on the extremes of both sides. So within Axie, for example, you have these really large guilds who are trying to earn money, and then the delegated scholar players who weren't really thinking about this as a progression, but just earning. And I apologize for keep calling them out. I think that team is doing a lot of great things at the moment. But just for the sake of examples, the example everyone knows, the name of the game is to get the people in the middle. People actually want to play your game because it's fun. And want to progress within the ecosystem and reinvest what they're earning back into the assets. So talk more about how try to encourage that. And then finally, like we did release a mobile platform just this week, app.decentral.games. And there, the NFTs to start are substantially cheaper. Like in ICE terms, they're currently $8. So it's kind of an intermediate approach where maybe you have something to invest in this asset that you can improve and play this game. Chuck Main is a delegated player, but our NFTs that work in Decentraland, these 3D cosmetic items, still in this bear market, have a floor of about $500. So are really quite expensive for people who aren't sort of crypto native in that sense. So we're trying to continue to roll out more accessible gameplay modes, both financially in terms of the platform they're on, and welcome in people who actually want to play our game because we think we have a fun game. And it's not all about just earning the tokens.
Yeah. What do you think about the role in the metaverse in all of that? Because Ice Poker is the most popular game in Decentraland, right? Right now.
That's right. We are the majority of Decentraland traffic. We're about 60%.
Yeah, exactly. But basically, like Decentraland is the metaverse, and you're just like a part of the metaverse that happens to be the most popular at the moment. But what like the metaverse? What role does it play in games like that? Why is it cool? And or it's just the it's just the hype because everybody's talking about metaverse, and you could build your game without that, and it would be as successful as it is right now.
That's great. And by the way, on that 60% figure, we would way prefer to be 6% of a virtual world that was 100 or 1,000 times bigger in terms of users. It's not about being the lion's share of it. Like you want to grow the space overall and be a part of it. Like by building in a world.
Like I like this mentality. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we were lucky because Decentraland was kind of like first to the market on this. And still, they're really the only virtual space that I'm considering like a fully functional metaverse. Like they have a scripting language, they have a software development kit, you can build complex games on it, on Unity. So just like from a tech layer, none of the other virtual worlds are there yet. And so we're really lucky to be in Decentraland in that sense that they did a lot of the legwork. Like we didn't have to build out the whole wearable platform, the concept of land, these software developer kits, interoperability with Unity. So like that conferred a leg up as we were building on top of like a tech stack that already exists. That was great. And on top of that, there's a pre-existing community. So if you already own some other wearables, you can mix and match them with the ones that we're selling and enable you to play this game. And then people already have friends and existing relationships in there. There's events, concerts, other communities of games. And so we do very much see ourselves as the DigiDAO builds games. We're not trying to build a metaverse. And in the future, we want our games to be available across multiple spaces. Like as other projects come along, like The Other Side, for example, when that releases on Unreal Engine, like if it's possible, we would love to be there, love to be other spaces. So we see ourselves as a game that we want to make as accessible and interoperable as possible across these different spaces. And then in general, like there are some people who don't want to play a game in a 3D virtual space. So you can provide for them like a desktop tablet phone experience as well. And you still get the benefits of what I was talking about earlier about like asset ownership and all of that. So I don't think it's the end all be all that every game has to release a 3D version or be in the metaverse. We can have great mobile only games. We can have great 3D only games.
Ryan, I just wanted to change the topic a little bit into something maybe a little bit more controversial. As a father of two young kids, I am a little bit worried about how much time my kids spend in the digital world. And I feel as technology progresses, it's going to be far more addictive to just spend all your waking moments in some sort of completely engaging and interactive metaverse. What are your thoughts about these concerns? I just wonder if we are building the future for our next generations to not have such a good balance between the real life and the virtual world. And I am a little bit concerned about this, to be honest.
Oh, I think that's a super valid concern. I don't have kids myself. I have younger brothers and some teenage cousins who I see spending even more time on their phones or playing games than I do personally. Like, I remember, this will date myself a bit, I think the iPhone came out. I was like a senior in high school. I got a Facebook when I was like 16. You didn't have social media when you were like 8 or 10, or a smartphone when you were 6. And then like in general, especially with all this work from home, people are spending the majority of their time in front of screens. I would say that personally, I hope this doesn't sound like I'm punting question, like we're not trying to solve the problem of how much time people are spending in virtual spaces or online. We want to make that experience better because we think it's important for people to, as I was describing earlier, like have control over their identity and assets, ability to resell things, the security that comes with the blockchain. And so I think that what we're doing is improving upon what exists, but just, you know, off the cuff, I'm definitely also personally concerned about the amount of time. I'm like, I know this is the off-chain podcast. I do try and take time away from the computer to read, go on walks around Austin, Texas, kind of disconnect. Because when you're working for a startup, you can definitely just like get wrapped up in it 24/7 as well.
Do you think virtual nations are going to play a bigger role in our lives than land-based states? I mean, I'm a real proponent of this libertarian way of life. And I watched this video by this YouTube tech channel called Economics Explained. And it was quite funny because he was basically explaining why the two extremes of the political spectrum don't work within like communism and in this anarcho-capitalist kind of world. And basically, I think he did a really good job of explaining what anarcho-capitalism would do and why it would be so much more preferred than any other system. Because although you might see societies tend to a centralized government with a centralized social welfare system, the difference between that and what we have now is that it's all opt-in and opt-out. So you can choose to be whatever part of whatever society you want to be and enjoy the benefits of that. However, anytime you want to leave, you have that choice. And I wonder if virtual communities is the first step to a world like that.
Yeah, I think that's a super interesting point. Without commenting on the political side of things, I think the metaverse is really interesting because you can go in and you can be a robot today. You know, you can change your avatar's appearance to something that better represents how you view yourself or how you want to be viewed by others. And then we have a really large community in Decentraland and a Discord with some really big personalities and people who have been around a while. That the most of them, though I did meet a few in NFT New York, most of them I've never met, but I feel close with just from the interactions over the last year or two. And those are really important. So I agree with you. I think that a lot of these Web3 communities, like in the NFT space, take apes or goblins or whatever else, like people really identify with these communities. The word community is talked about all the time in NFT space. And I think that is really important to people and is not even unique to Web3. Like before all of this stuff, people would really identify with the people they played Call of Duty with or World of Warcraft with around the world. So yeah, I think we are trending in that direction where these virtual communities become more and more important.
Nice. And how you mentioned already, it's an off-chain podcast. So you mentioned that you are trying to spend less time on the laptop. And what do you do in your free time? What kinds of hobbies do you have?
So in terms of hobbies, say try and travel home a few times a year, That's Southern California for me. Travel to visit college and high school friends who drowned. Like, actually prioritize that. It's not really an answer to the hobby question. One hobby for me is weightlifting. My wife and I actually go to the gym together, like in the mornings before work quite often. We're lucky because we work West Coast hours from Central Time. So start work at 11, she ends at like 8, something like that. So I think try and exercise mornings. And then I wouldn't say I'm always succeeding at this, but I'm a big fantasy and sci-fi reader. Right now, I'm finally tackling the Wheel of Time series, which is 14 books long, about halfway through it. And then balancing books and also watching too much TV and movies and stuff. So I try and keep that dial like 50-50 or better towards reading if possible. So I guess in terms of hobbies, the moment, doing a pretty good job reading, trying to stay fit. Better than I did last year during the whole NFT boom where I got really obsessed with NFT trading and flipping and stuff, like maybe a lot of other people listening. That was a pretty fun an all-consuming summer.
I see. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Ryan. It was lovely to talk to you. Ryan from the Central Games, thank you so much for joining. And that concludes our today's podcast. See you next time. Goodbye.
Thanks.
Bye, guys.
The Insiders Insight podcast is meant for informational purposes only and should not be considered as financial or investment advice. Nothing expressed in this podcast should be construed as a solicitation, recommendation, endorsement, or offer to buy or sell any financial products. Information expressed by the host or guest of this podcast does not necessarily reflect any views of our sponsors.